Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Broken Earth. This is Bill. Tonight's show is going to be part one in Tower of Lessons. So make sure you've got your decks nearby if you have them. Also, tonight is about your unexplained stories. If you have any interesting stories, any paranormal experiences you'd like to share with us, please give us a call on Skype number 347-215-8421. That's 347-215-8421. So tonight's show is all about you, your experiences, and teaching you how to use the tarot cards. But before all that, an important message has been discovered from Mars.
Hello, everybody. It's a happy Wednesday. Why didn't we have a show yesterday?
Because the powers that be didn't want us to be on air again.
Again? Oh, it's kind of aggravating. They're these powers that be. The PTB.
The unforeseen forces.
The unforeseen forces. Well, you know, today's show, like Bill was saying, is about tarot lessons. Also, if anybody has any unexplained experiences, they want to call in and share. And as usual, readings.
Because if you don't call in with your experiences, we'll be sitting here in silence waiting.
And you know that we just sometimes just don't know how to talk. We have nothing to say sometimes.
That's right. So anyway, throughout this week, what's been going on? I know in Egypt, they've got the plague of locusts at the moment.
The plague of locusts?
Yeah.
Now, I have been in a bubble today, so no, I don't know anything about any locusts.
Oh, well, it's been on the news all week, but apparently it happens every year in Egypt, but this time there seems to be a lot more than usual, so there's about 30 million of them. I don't know who's counted them, but, you know, that's how many there is.
Somebody's counting them.
A swarm of biblical proportions. So some people were getting worried. They thought, you know, mind you, we've had some already recently anyway. Biblical kind of thing. It was, you know, rivers turning to blood. Well, this is not necessarily blood, but rivers turning red. You know, have you heard about this?
I have not heard anything about it. You haven't told me anything.
I'm your source of knowledge.
You know you are.
All right, well, there's something else, and maybe you heard about this.
Okay.
The first known instance of creatures growing their own disposable penises have been discovered by researchers after studying the mating habits of sea slugs. Sorry. Researchers in Japan were astonished when they realized that a group of sea slugs called Gromodoris reticulatus would lose their penises after sex but then grow another one a few hours later. Marine invertebrate expert Bernard Picton of the National Museum's Northern Ireland said, "I've never seen anything like this before." The creatures, also known as nudibranchs, are hermaphrodites, and scientists already knew that they had a male and female organs which enabled them to form the male role of donating sperm and the female role of receiving sperm at the same time. But the revelation that the penises fell off and then regrew was a surprise to them. The discovery was made after a team from Osaka City University and Tokyo's Nihon University went diving to collect the sea slugs from shallow coral reefs off the coast near Okinawa. So somebody made the comments or something like, well, if you realize you just had sex with a hermaphrodite slug, your penis will probably fall off as well.
Everybody always has to put a human twist on it, don't they?
Yeah. The other thing that I was reading about, I think it's a couple of weeks ago now, did you hear about the... I'll stop saying that. What happened was, there was a British couple on holiday in Los Angeles. They were told how they drank, showered, and brushed their teeth with water from a rooftop tank at a hotel where a woman's body has been decomposing for 3 weeks. It was only when the bloated body of a 21-year-old university student, Elisa Lam, was discovered this week that they found out why the hotel water tasted funny.
Oh.
Sabina Bao, 27, spent 8 days with her husband, Michael, also 27, at the Cecil Hotel in downtown L.A. So, the piano teacher said, the water did have a very funny, disgusting taste. We never thought anything of it. We just thought it was just the way it was here.
Oh, gosh.
You know what's really strange, though? You know, obviously the poor student that was found dead, Elisa Lam. I was reading somewhere that there's been an increase in tuberculosis, somewhere like 4,500 cases in some area in America. And you know what the test is? Because this came out about the same time, the tuberculosis story and this came out at the same time as, you know, the dead body in the tent. Guess what the name of the test is?
What?
To find out if people got tuberculosis. Lamellitis.
You be quiet.
Seriously. The girl's name is Alyssa Lam, and this test for tuberculosis is called Lamellitis. Spelled exactly the same way, just the other way around. It's a bit strange, isn't it?
Oh, wow. That's very strange. That's really weird. Wow.
So, no wonder they won.
It's crazy.
Terrible.
Well, I'm trying to think if there's anything interesting. Honestly, you know, it's been so hectic in a different way. And so it's, you know, I just don't have time to sit back and watch the news and read stuff. And I've also been doing a lot of, you know, inner stuff, you know, for the past few days.
It's very easy. I find it difficult, you know, but I've really got to make the effort and seek after this information, because I spent a lot of years of my life just going along with the flow. And it's because people are locked into the system, the Gregorian calendar, the 9-to-5 jobs, that keeps us from looking at these things. This is why I'm trying to make the effort. Not saying, you know, God, you make a better effort. But I know what you mean. Sitting back. I mean, I was in work the other day, and I was sat upstairs in work, and it was quite warm, so somebody opened up like these big doors that opened up so I could look across like the allotments and stuff like that. And I turned my chair around for a change and just looked out, and I thought, this is nice, because the sun was out, and you know, it's been horrible for months. And I was watching the birds, a group of birds flying down, swooping down, dipping down for food and stuff, you know, feeding themselves, and I thought, this is nice. And then I realized that they were dipping down for food into the sewage works, and it kind of ruined the whole thing for me.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. That
you might get like you're doing a similar thing, like bobbing for apples, but you know.
Oh my gosh. Bobbing for apples. Bobbing for apples has been a topic. I've been hearing that bobbing for apples for like the past 2 days, and I'm just like, what? Our lines are open, everybody. Our number is 347-215-8421. I just thought I'd add that in there.
When are you doing, just so people are prepared, when did you want to start?
Well, I can start talking about some stuff now. I can start talking about some things.
So hurry up, people. She's not giving you any time to get your cards. Quick.
Seriously, though, if you have your decks, or if you have just, you know, the ability to just sort of retain some information, also remember our show will be on demand as well, so you can come back to this if you need to. Everybody pick up your decks. Bill, pick up your deck.
My deck. Right.
Your tarot deck.
I just need to go and run a personal errand, hold up.
And I hope everybody has your book. Now, the thing is, one of the hardest parts about tarot, honestly.
Sorry. Can I interrupt?
Okay. One of the most difficult things that I find people talking about when it comes to tarot and learning tarot is that it's the book, you know, the book, and then you look in the book and they start talking about these different types of spreads, the Celtic, you know, the Celtic spread, and whatever other, there's some other spreads too, you know, that they talk about.
Celtic spread was something else. Must be thinking of something else.
Yeah, you just go on ahead and just focus on your cards.
Okay.
But basically, the first thing that I want everybody to do is just kind of sit back and think about, what do you want to be when you grow up? You know, what do you want to be? Do you want to be an astronaut? Do you want to be a nurse? Do you want to be the best baker in the whole wide world? You know, what is it that you really want to be?
Grown up.
You want to be a grown up.
Were you laughing at? Oh, did you hear that?
Yeah. But basically, go through the deck and look at all the cards. Just look at the pictures. Look at the pictures of the cards. And pick out some cards that make you feel, that remind you of what it is that you really ultimately want to be. Let's say that you want to be a baker. You know, do you want to own your bakery? You know, so, you know, you pick out cards that would be indicative of business ownership. You also want to look at the, you want your book, especially if this is the first time that you're really looking at it, and you want to kind of read through the book and see things that may represent financial success, spiritual success, different things like that. But basically, you're going to start pulling out cards from the deck that actually remind you of or help you, like, kind of feel like, okay, this is what I really want to be. Cards that really speak to you. Cards that really make you feel, you know, that you've got some amazing things that you really want to see happening in your life. Now, after you've gone through the book and you've kind of pulled some cards from the deck, what we want you to do is, with the cards that you have, just willy-nilly pull out cards. The higher arcana are going to be the cards that are the ones that have words on them, and they're numbered. They're the Fool through the World. You know, it's the Fool through the World. And but basically, we're not going to be concerned about deep definitions right now, because right now we're just basically trying to develop power cards for you. Cards that when you see them, they're going to really strike a chord with you later on through your tarot reading career. Now, what you want to do when, after you have your cards pulled, what I want you to do is to, if you have 19 cards pulled, if you have 20 cards pulled, I don't care how many cards you have pulled. After you've pulled all the cards out that mean something to you, what we really want you to do is we want you to really end up with 13. So
you got four.
You just have four. Well, you need to have 13 cards.
Isn't that an unlucky number?
We need to have 13 cards. And so basically, after you have your 13, you've whittled it down to the 13 that you really want to hang on to. Take the other cards and just put them back in the box and just kind of put them away. And these are the cards that you're going to sit with and make them become very special to you over the next week. Keep them in your pocket at work. Pull them out while you're at lunch and look at them. You know, keep them in your purse. Just have these cards with you. And whenever you're able to just kind of sit back, you spread them out on your desk, on your computer desk, and just look at them and just really meditate on these cards and think about why they're important to you. You know, go through your book, go online, just research the definitions of these cards, the 13 most important cards to you. And like I said, these are the cards that are going to become your power cards. What do you think, Bill?
It's very good. I'm just trying to find 13 cards. 2, 4, 6, 8, 9. It's hard for me to choose who got cats on them.
The cat tarot. So what you thinking?
I'm still going through. I'm trying to find cards that I'm not been looking for. Well, I'll tell you what, I'll go and see what looks cool.
Well, while Bill's looking, let's play a couple of songs. And everybody, remember, our lines are open. The number to call is 347-215-8421. This is a Broken Earth radio show, and we will be right back. And we're back. So, you know, we do have some calls in the queue. And the first call we're going to actually take is a caller from 706. But before we take our call, I see that you've chosen some cards.
This is correct.
Well, why don't you tell us one of the cards that you've picked that really is special to you?
One of them?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Okay, well, I guess the Ten of Pentacles or the Ten of Coins. Because I know that to me, because it kind of represents safety of home, and it just reminds me of family and stuff like that, which is important, so that's why I've got that one.
Right. Yeah, because it...
A big smiley cat on it and some little kittens.
And so, you know, safety of home can represent security of home as far as financially secure, always being able to take care of things for you and the people you care about, which is something that I know that's really important for men, you know, and if it's something that, well, it's important for everyone, but in particular men, because if, you know, a man feels like he can't take care of things, it affects how he feels about relationships and himself, period, which also brings us to self-esteem. The Seven of Coins is a card that represents how we feel about ourselves, about our own home. You know, like by home, I mean like the home we carry on our backs, like turtles and snails. They have their shells and they carry those homes on their backs. And so if you just imagine that, you know, you carry your home on your back. Sometimes if your home is messy, you carry that on yourself. You carry that inside of yourself. So security of home is something that represents self-esteem. It represents financial security. Also being able to put it out there to people like, you know, how much money you really feel like you deserve. You know, being able to actually, you know, say, listen, I do this and I do this and I deserve this back, or I deserve something. So, you know, security of home is a very, very, very big thing. It's a very big thing. And, of course, if you flip that card upside down, it can represent insecurities. And so sometimes we have to confront the things that we're worried about so that we're able to actually, you know, meet head on the things that we really want to accomplish. So this is a very, very, very good and very powerful card for you to have in your power cards. Very good choice. Very good choice.
Thank you very much.
Is there another card that you've chosen?
Loads. I suppose the other one that looks is important to me, I guess, well, I don't know which one to choose. Temperance, I guess, because looking at that, I just, you know, because I want, you know, a calm and peaceful outlook on life, and I just want things to be balanced, you know?
Right.
That's why I've got that one picked there.
Temperance is an extremely good card. It's a higher arcana card. And it's a card that actually, I'm not telling you what cards to pick, but I'm just saying that it's a good card to go hand in hand with the Magician. Why? Well, the Temperance card is a card that, if you go back in tarot history, represents alchemy. And, of course, the Magician is someone that creates things. He's someone that can also show sleight of hand. He's someone that makes people feel amazing and wonderful. To think about the different ways a magician can be, whichever way that card sits. But you're talking about Temperance, so we'll put the Magician to the side. Temperance is important because if you sit back and think about it, think about the chemistry, the alchemy that it takes to make relationships work, the alchemy that it takes for you to work in your own life or to function in your own life. So let's say that you've got fire in one hand and water in another. Now, you know that if you put fire and water together, you're either going to put the fire out, or perhaps the fire may create some sort of steam in the water, right? But either way, you kind of end up with you know, it's like you feel like these two can't exist together. Well, if the proper with the proper magician or the proper alchemy, what you actually can do is you can take the blue of the water and the red of the fire and combine the two together to actually create the color purple, depending on how well you're able to really let the two flow together. It takes a little bit of this and a little bit of that. So temperance, you know, it's a card that not only represents, you know, where you are mentally, where your character is, but it's also about, you know, the way that you get along with yourself, the way you get along with other people, being able to combine the right things with whatever element you're working with to create something that is livable and something that's pleasant and something that's balanced.
I thought I heard a man's voice in the background. Strange. Maybe it's just me. Never mind.
Okay. Well, you know, so everybody go through your cards. Remember, you know, we're doing tarot lessons today. And if you're just tuning in, what we're talking about is creating power cards, going through your deck and finding the cards that if you think about what you really want to be when you grow up, going through the deck and finding cards that actually are special to you or that you want to see as qualities that you possess for yourself, depending on whatever it is that you imagine that you want to be or you strive to be, and then whittling it down to the top 13 and taking these cards and over the next week really studying them. You know, playing with them each day and just sort of seeing, you know, just how the meanings may change to you or twist and turn to you. Because as a tarot reader, you're going to find that cards have different meanings depending on, you know, just like words may have different meanings or scenarios have different meanings depending on the question or just whatever's happening in your life. But cards will gradually have different meanings, just the way that over time, you start to see things differently or the more experiences you have. Because, you know, when we first begin, we really do have to create, to make your reading more than just fortune cookies, like you're just picking up cards saying, oh, it's the world, and the world is defined by this. To actually make it more of an intuitive reading and then later to become more of a psychic reading with the cards. You know, you do have to first create something that is going to be personal to you, something that you can relate to when you see your cards pop up in other people's spreads. This is something that's going to trigger something in your memory and your thoughts and in your emotions and in your feelings of how you felt when these things would pop up for you, so that you can see how you can really sort of empathically relate to the people you're talking to. But over time, you're going to see how these things twist and turn and change, just like you as a reader and just as you as a person grows and begins to change. Now let's take this caller, okay, at 706. 706, this is Broken Earth. How can we help you?
Yes.
Hi.
I'm on. Hi.
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 Are you okay?
Yes. Am I speaking to two people?
Yes. You're talking to both of us. You're talking to Nunu and Bill.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I just want a simple reading.
Okay. All right. What's your question today?
What do you see as far as my career?
Your career is concerned. Okay, hold on just a moment now. If real quickly, I don't have a pen. I've been scrambling around. What's your name, dear?
Tiffany.
Tiffany. Okay. All right. Well, Tiffany, if you would just relax, and we're going to kind of see if there's any changes or any twists and turns coming up with your career. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Okay. Okay, let's see. Now, from what I'm looking at, Tiffany, it actually looks like you're trying to find something different.
Okay.
It looks like you're really trying to create a different path for yourself. And and I actually am seeing you have let me think about something here. Hold on just a moment. The Queen of Coins reciprocates with these people here, and her efforts bring rewards. And then what we're seeing is, yeah, so basically, if I make this into a timeline, it actually kind of looks like over the next couple of weeks, you're supposed to be having an agreement between yourself and there's two people here. Now, whether or not this is someone who's actually interviewed you and her boss, there's something going on here where it looks like you guys reach an agreement on how much you'll be making and what you'll be doing. And then it doesn't look like you start working there right away. It actually looks like you have to have a break period, and then you finally are able to go off on your own and then join this group. So are you actually changing jobs? Is that your goal, or are you just trying to find, because it looks like you're changing jobs.
That's what I'm trying to do.
Yeah, but if I change this into a timeline, Tiffany, it looks like it's happening over the next 2 weeks.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. Now, if by chance it's two steps, and because it looks like there's potential for this to happen within the month that we're currently in right now. But your new beginning is laying latent because it looks like you have to reach an agreement first. Basically, I mean, I'm seeing that your conflict, that the reason that you're trying to make your change is because of financial things. Like you really need some appreciation, and that's why I'm saying there's an agreement, because it's a reciprocation, like you saying, I do this and I want this, and they're saying, okay, well, since you can do this, we can do this for you, and it's a negotiation that's happening. And then after you step away from this, you don't make that change right away. It looks like there's a period of rest, which is basically saying you are probably putting in a notice, you know what I mean? And then you go in there. And there you go. There you go.
Wow.
So,
okay.
Yeah. So but like I said, it looks like it's happening just over the next couple of weeks. Okay?
Okay, well, thank you.
No problem, dear. And thank you for listening. Thank you for listening.
Thanks.
All right, dear. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Sorry.
Now, am I here? Can you hear me?
Felt a little hoarse then. Yeah, there seems to be
an issue with
an issue here.
Yeah, so I don't want to lose the show in case it's...
Well, let me just put that off for a minute then.
Okay.
So, is everybody here? Are we all here?
Yeah, we're here.
We're all present.
We're all present.
Okay.
I'm present.
I'll tell you what. Let me tell you about this. Tax bicycle. Sorry, I'm studying tax. Bicyclists. Bicyclists, is that right? Why is it? Bicyclists. Wouldn't it be cyclists? Anyway, tax cyclists were exhaling CO2 when they ride, says Washington representative. Taxing the air we breathe may be becoming to Washington state. Yes, the insane taxing of every behavior is rising to a whole new level with the proposed bike tax in Washington. According to lawmakers who proposed the bike tax, it would help raise $1 million over the next decade to be used for road maintenance. The new $25 tax will be applied on every bike sold for over $500 in the state. One Washington lawmaker is making twisted arguments in support of the new fee. Ed Orcutt wrote in an email to a bike shop that the CO2 the cyclists exhale while riding is just one of the reasons he supports the bike tax. Since CO2 is deemed a greenhouse gas, a pollutant, cyclists are actually polluting when they ride. Therefore, they should pay taxes to help the environment as well as the roads. And in the email here, scroll down, it says, also, you claim that it's environmentally destructive. Section of the email. You claim it's environmentally friendly to ride a bike, but if I'm not mistaken, a cyclist has an increased heart rate and respiration. That means the act of riding a bike results in greater emissions of carbon dioxide from the rider. Since CO2 is deemed to be a greenhouse gas and a pollutant, cyclists are actually polluting when they ride.
That is crazy. Are you serious?
What about when I do an exercise, doing some weights? Well, too much CO2, I'm going to get taxed for lifting my weights.
I think there's just too much CO2 and all the crap that they're putting out there with the words they spew.
Chemtrails.
You know, there's some country, and I can't remember which one it is, and I hate doing that. I hate giving partial information. And I also don't really like repeating things that I hear from certain people, because some people tell me things that are completely wrong, and without me researching it. So that's how come I'm saying that, you know, I only listen to what you say.
Everything I tell you is true. Well, you know, you got to take everything with a pinch of salt. I mean, even though I look on alternative news websites, it doesn't always mean that they're correct. But there's more
what you hear is
more accurate than on the mainstream.
Yeah, but there's some country, I was actually looking at it, and I actually saw this myself.
Right.
That is taxing sugary things, junk food. They're soda pop.
Well,
they're
taxing. They've been talking about this kind of thing, the junk food tax. They've been talking about that for ages. I'm not surprised that it's already in process in some places.
I don't quote me on this, but I think it's someplace like Norway or Sweden or something.
Oh, right. I was going to say Evansville, because wasn't Evansville supposed to be like the most obese? What's the word? State?
Well, Evansville is a city in Indiana.
Oh, right. Okay. Sorry.
So yeah, so it's a Midwestern. Indiana's a Midwestern state, and I can't stand the term Midwestern because they're really not that far west. But anyway, when the term became Midwestern, that was as west as they were going, I suppose, because I actually looked that up at one point. But anyway, no, this was a country that's doing it. So that's how.
Well, isn't Iceland is supposed to ban porn on the internet? Well, apparently there's an uproar or something.
You know, I'm going to tell you, I have never really had a problem with pornography and all that kind of stuff. But the other day I was thinking about it.
Where is this going?
Where's this going?
I love porn. I love porn, but even though I was thinking about porn.
No, I was thinking about what pornography is. I mean, just really what it is and just what it really stands for. And I don't know if I'm not trying to turn into one of those zipped up prudes, because you know I'm not. But I just, the damage that happens to just like the individuals that are a part of it, or the damage that has happened to some of the people to get them there, that's the sort of thing that I'm kind of concerned about, and I wonder if it's something that.
Well, of course that's concerning, but at the end of the day, it's their choice, isn't it?
I know it's their choice. I know it is, but I'm just saying that. And I'm not trying to sound hypercritical or anything, but I just am like.
It's a sensitive subject, I'm sure. You know, if they said banned porn in the U.S., there'd probably be quite an uproar.
Yeah, there'd be a lot of people who are freaking out because they want their guns and they want their porns and they want their steak, you know. And
the three most important things.
You know, but I mean, I honestly, I don't have a problem with guns. I grew up in the country, and in order to be able to, like, I mean, you have to have. But anyway,
well,
that's another.
Well, I saw something the other day, and it said taking away guns because we have police is like taking away fire extinguishers because we have firefighters.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway,
we have another caller. Let's take the caller. Let's take the caller. Actually, you know what? I need to take a quick break. So we're going to take a fast break, and then we're going to take the caller from 337. And remember, this is Broken Earth Radio Show. Today's topic is tarot lessons, any of your unexplained experiences. And, of course, we always do sample readings. It's been a very slow day.
Nobody phones up with their unexplained experiences and stuff. What am I going to do?
You're going to pull your eyes out.
Yeah. My people might want to hear that.
Okay. They may want to see that.
Quit the show forever.
You wouldn't do that.
I don't get to pretend.
Because it's your show.
How are people going to say that? Otherwise, people won't call in.
Oh. I mean.
Anyway.
Yes.
Break and then.
And then we'll be right back.
Hi. My name is Aaron, and for the past 3 years, my trusted guide and friend, Nunu, has helped me along the journey of change and growth. Her sincerity and clear insights have brought new understandings and developments to my life. I am proud to know her, to be her client, and to have her support in my life. Thank you, Nunu.
Broken Earth, blogtalkradio.com, 2 p.m. Central Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time, and 8 p.m. in the UK.
Broken Earth.
You know, the beginning of that song sounded like someone was pressing the keypad or something. It was weird.
I know. It was probably you.
I wasn't pressing the buttons over here. That's a double negative. Like, we don't need no education.
Exactly, exactly. The caller at 337, this is Nunu and Bill. How can we help you today?
Hi, how are you?
Hello.
Very good.
Good, good. I was calling to see if you can pull some cards in the area of love for me, see if anything's coming up.
Okay, all right. What's your name, dear?
My name is Tamla.
Tamla? Okay.
I spoke to you a couple of months back. It probably was longer than that. September maybe? September, October?
Okay. Is there someone that you wanted to talk about?
Well, then I just wanted to see what you can pull up in the cards and just see if he comes up in the cards.
Okay. All right. Well, what I'm going to do is just because we're trying to keep this simple is
okay.
We're just going to see what's going to be happening with you over like the next month or two. Okay.
Okay. That's fine.
Okay. Hold on just a moment. Let's see.
Sure.
All right, let's see. Let me see something here really quickly. There is somebody that shows up here, but I just need to make sure of when. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. If I go backwards with you, would you say that you guys haven't spoken since maybe the end of last month? I'm going back basically three steps.
For you to even say that, you're picking up his energy. We haven't spoken. It's been a while because we haven't spoken verbally, but we emailed each other a couple of weeks ago. It might be a month now.
Okay. Now, when I move you forward, I do see you're being told just to sit back. He does come back through. He does come back through. Here, however, you can't. It's not a permanent thing. So it's like you hear from him finally, and I'm just going to give you an estimation just to get it rolling. It does look like it's within this month. It actually looks like it's probably going to be at the end of the month, and he does come through again, so to speak. But it actually looks like you guys are talking. You're actually going to have a conversation, and in that conversation, things are okay. But it doesn't seem like it's really an extreme improvement. Now, there's some other stuff that's coming up here, especially because it does look like there's somebody else in the picture in his life. Are you aware of that?
Yeah. He and I are just friends. And it was getting crazy because it was the kind of friendship that it looked like it was trying to go romantic, but it was like hit and miss. Hit and miss. He would come on to me. I was acting like I was like, well, why are you even acting that way? Then when I would finally come to my senses and realize that he was hitting on me, I would try to open myself up to him, and he was acting like he was crazy. So it was just one of those awkward situations.
Right. So, but yeah, it's, I mean, but also, just so you'll know, he's being defined as the person who's withdrawn. It's like he's somebody that he started being somebody that would just sometimes talk, or he would check on you to see how you're doing because he does care about you. But mm-hmm. right now he seems to be withdrawn because, you know, there's something that's going on with him, and he's mm-hmm. just trying to figure out what's right for himself. So just over the next little while, it kind of seems like it's more of the same. I'm not seeing any huge changes. Just over the next short term, over the next short period. So.
Okay.
Yeah. So we'll just see what he says, you know, towards the end of the month. Okay.
Okay. All right. Good deal.
All right, dear. Thanks for listening. Okay, all right, dear. Bye bye.
Bye.
Well, so, all right, let me see something here. It's such a quiet day.
It could be because, you know, we had to change suddenly last night to coming on today. So, apologize to the live listeners. Obviously, archive people, it won't make too much of a difference, but.
Right.
You know, we had technical problems and weird stuff going
on.
Did I tell you I interviewed my dad the other day?
No.
Oh, no. Well, I was asking him about his experiences and that, you know. So I've got some audio there from the interview, maybe in an upcoming show or something. We could I could break it down in some different parts, and we could play some of that, you know.
Yeah.
You know, strange experiences with poltergeists and, you know, precognition and UFOs, all kinds of things, you know.
Well, that sounds awesome. That'll be your task for this week, just like my task is to finish the book. You know, we have a book. We're working on a book, and we've been working on this for a while, and it's about moon magic, and we should have it done. I said it was going to be done in February, and I meant February of 2014, so it should be done early.
Yeah.
Well, it'll be done, and then after Bill's edited it, and then we've reworked it or whatever, it will be posted on the site.
We'll have the artwork for the cover.
And also, I'm going to be starting a line of hair things, the hair accessories, I think, that are going to be a lot of fun.
Square Chicks Hair Sticks.
No, it's not.
Oh, do we not agree on that?
You agreed on that.
All right. Okay, sorry.
So, yeah.
Is that an awesome name? What is it?
I think I'm going to keep the name that I had originally thought of, because everything you keep throwing out there sounds like mush mouth stuff. Speaking of mush,
come up with
Square Chicks Hair Sticks.
You don't know that.
Because you're calling me a square.
Which means
that I'm not cool. Yeah, you're calling me a nerd.
Okay, what about... Oh, no, never mind. You know... what's going to say? You know, I watched that movie Deja Vu the other day.
Right.
That was pretty
again?
Awesome. But, well, I had this feeling I've seen it before.
But then you realize that...
That was a joke.
I know.
I hadn't seen it before. You didn't laugh. You've got to laugh. You're laughing.
I was looking at you through the side. I was giving you sideways glance.
You're being square, right? Anyway, it's a good film. If anybody hasn't seen it, it's got Denzel Washington in it. It's pretty awesome. Deja Vu.
He just loves Denzel.
Well, you know what? I wasn't really a big fan of him until I saw The Book of Eli, and that was pretty awesome.
Mm-hmm.
But it had Mila Kunis in it, so, you know, that's why I watched it.
Mila Kunis?
you know, Meg. Shut up, Meg. Family Guy. You know?
I know what you're talking about. Sorry, I had to blow my nose, and I don't have a mute button on this thing.
Did I tell you about my when I was in bed the other night, and I got like scared to death? I did, didn't I?
Tell everybody else.
So I did tell you.
Tell everybody else.
All right, being evasive about the answer. Well, I was lying in bed, listening to the interview. Well, first of all, I was watching an interview. David Icke was interviewing somebody about reptilians. Not the best thing to watch while you're lying in bed.
Right.
And then I was listening to parts of the interview with my dad to make sure it recorded okay. He was talking about poltergeists and, you know, weird things. And I was laying there and I was relaxing. And all of a sudden, from right next to me and dad, I heard, "Hey, hey, you." And I was like... So I sat up as quickly as I could and ripped the earphones out of my head. And I was like, what the hell's going on? And instinctively, I grabbed my phone and I was like, ah. And it turned out it was like a notification for one of my games. But I tell you, when people say, you know, they were scared to death, I literally was nearly scared to death. I thought I was going to have a heart attack. And I wanted to cry afterwards. It was that bad. I was that scared. And scared. I don't think I've ever been, it's made me jump that much in my life. It was horrible. All because of the freaking Simpsons game. The only what the notification was just Homer saying, "Hey," I didn't hear the rest of the thing because, you know, I was too busy
screaming.
It was saying, "Hey, hey, you stop doing things and come play this game." So I uninstalled the game straight away.
Yeah, that's probably a very bad
idea.
It was
horrible. It took me ages to get to sleep after that. It was just a horrible experience.
It sounds terrible. Bill's going to be going on another ghost walk, another ghost hunt at the end of the month.
Bill, the ghost hunter.
Bill, the ghost hunter.
It doesn't really work, does it? It needs to have two syllables.
Yeah, the ghost hunt. No. No, it doesn't.
Ghosty.
The ghosty ghost hunter. How about that?
No, that's three syllables.
Casper, the friendly ghost hunter. No.
Anyway, well, this place called... I don't know. It's a place somewhere. It's got cellars and like a tunnel and stables and stuff. So I think it will be... pretty cool. What? Who's laughing at?
Somebody sent me a message and I was laughing.
Oh, well, they're talking about me.
Maybe they were talking about me.
All right. Maybe. You're evasive with your answers. Okay, let me tell you about what's going on now. Have you got, I'll tell you about this stuff here that I've got here.
Yes.
Okay, well, this is important. That's why I want to tell you all. Now, people may have heard of aspartame, or some people call it aspartame, but then it wouldn't have an R in it, if that was the case. I'm calling
it's
it aspartame.
Aspartame.
No, it's aspartame. It's not aspartame, because there wouldn't, where's the
it's,
R?
I said aspartame.
No, aspartame.
It's aspartame.
See, A-S, how would you pronounce P-A-R?
Par.
There you go, aspartame.
I said aspartame.
No, you're saying aspartame, not par. You're saying aspartame.
Are you
aspartame.
Really trying to teach me how to speak English?
Yeah, eloquently. Well, shut up and listen to my article. Okay. If anybody's not heard of it, it's an artificial sweetener, and you find it in all kinds of places. Like, a lot of the time it's in fizzy drinks, but... it's all over the place, and it's not good for you. If I had a choice between sugar-free something or including sugar, I'd go for the sugar one every time because the artificial sweeteners are bad. let me read this to you. The shocking story how aspartame became legal. Did you know that aspartame was banned by the FDA twice? How is this product legal now? The bittersweet argument over whether aspartame is safe or not has been going on for a long time. On one side, we have medical evidence that suggests we should avoid using it. On the other side, we lean on the FDA's approval that suggests it is safe. Since generally that it seems to be the factor that many continue to hold trust based upon, I thought we could look into aspartame's stories to find out how it came to be accepted as safe by the FDA. You would think that something so widely used and so well accepted could have quite... What? Would have... What? I don't know. Type that out. But anyway, they all start in the mid-1960s with a company called G.D. Searle. One of their chemists accidentally creates aspartame while trying to create a cure for stomach ulcers. Searle decides to put aspartame through a testing process which eventually leads to its approval by the FDA. Not long after, serious health effects begin to arise, and G.D. Searle comes under fire for their testing practices. It is revealed that the testing process of aspartame was among the worst the investigators had ever seen, and in fact, this product wasn't safe for use. Aspartame triggers the first criminal investigation of a manufacturer put into place by the FDA in 1977. By 1980, the FDA bans aspartame from use after having three independent scientists study the sweetener. It was determined that one main health effect was that it had a high chance of inducing brain tumors. At this point, it was clear that aspartame was not fit to be used in foods, and banned is where it stayed, but not for long. Early in 1981, Searle chairman Donald Rumsfeld, who was a former Secretary of Defense, surprise, surprise, vowed to call in his markers to get it approved. January 21st, 1981, the day after Ronald Reagan's inauguration, Searle took the steps to reapply aspartame's approval for use by the FDA. Ronald Reagan's new FDA commissioner, Arthur Hayes Hull Jr., appointed a five-person scientific commission to review the Board of Inquiry's decision. It did not take long for the panel to decide 3-2 in favor of maintaining the ban of aspartame. Hull then decided to appoint a sixth member to the board, which created a tie in the voting, 3-3. Stupid. Hull then decided to personally break the tie and approve aspartame for use. Hull later left the FDA under allegations of impropriety. Wait a minute. Served briefly as a New York medical college and then took a position with Burston Marsteller. Burston Marsteller is the chief public relations firm for both Monsanto and G.D. Searle. Since that time, he has never spoken publicly about aspartame. We all know about Monsanto.
Right.
It is clear to this point that, if anything, the safety of aspartame is incredibly shaky. It has already been through a process of being banned, and without the illegitimate unbanning of the product, it would not be used today. It makes you wonder how much corruption and money was involved for the names like Rumsfeld, Reagan, and Hull involved so heavily. In 1985, Monsanto decides to purchase the aspartame patent from G.D. Searle. Remember that Arthur Hull now had the connection to Monsanto. Monsanto did not seem to be concerned with the past challenges and the ugly image aspartame had based on its past. I personally find this comical, as Monsanto's products are banned in many countries, and all of the companies to buy the product, they seem to be fit best, as they are champions of producing incredibly unsafe and untested products and making sure they stay in the marketplace. Since then, aspartame has now been under a lot of attack by scientists, doctors, chemists, and consumers about its safety and neurotoxic properties. Piles of comprehensive studies have completed that show aspartame is a cause for over 90 serious health problems, such as cancer, leukemia, headaches, seizures, fibromyalgia, and epilepsy, just to name a few. We have written several articles discussing various effects of aspartame, and there's some more information down there, but I'm going to stop and get my breath back. So that's a strange, you know, I can't believe, you know, you get a group of people in and it's like 3-1 with the votes, and you're like, oh, I don't know, I'll bring somebody in who's going to be on my side just to tie the votes. You know, come here, what do you vote? Oh,
it's money. Yeah, of course, right? Yeah. I mean, that doesn't take a big, that's not a big, you know, aha. But it is, it's about money.
But there's no Monsanto, genetically modified food. I think Greece. Maybe Greece that's banned genetically modified food.
I'm not sure.
But we see Monsanto and they're putting pesticides on the plants and that. They wear like gloves and, you know, masks and stuff. So, I mean, but you want to feed this stuff to us. Our food's coated in it, so. It's like bags of fluoride, you see, like, it's information, hazardous to health, do not eat. Handle with caution, and the fluoride's in the water, you know. But be careful, I might sound like a conspiracy theorist, so I'm going to stop there.
Oh, my goodness. Let's take a break. Let's take a little bit of a break, and we'll come back, and we'll have a little bit more tarot talk. I want you to look through your cards and see what other cards you kind of want to talk about. But everybody, when we come back, we'll kind of explain what we're doing this week and what we'll be doing to bring us up to next week. This is Broken Earth Radio. Our lines are open if you want to give us a call. This is not something that usually happens. So the number is 347-215-8421. We're open to hear any of your mysterious, unexplained experiences, sample readings, or if you want to talk about your tarot stuff. But we'll be right back. Thank you. did you think about that song? How did it make you feel?
Sad.
Can you tell me why it made you feel sad?
The instrument, is that an oboe or something? Clarinet?
I thought it sounded like a flute.
I couldn't tell because the quality isn't too good when I'm hearing it. I know it sounds okay on the radio.
Right.
But it's difficult for me to pass judgment on it because it's distorted.
Oh, so you're now, you're passing judgment, are you?
Yeah.
Well, I like our song list today. The first song we heard was The Martian Hop. As far as a movie is concerned, it was in Martians Go Home, which is one of my favorite movies. But it's hard to find it. It's really hard to find it. They hardly ever show it. I know I saw it maybe a while back. It was on television, but they just don't play it very often. It's got Randy Quaid in it and some other people, and about Martians. Randy Quaid is a guy who is he writes songs for movies and TV shows. And so he is trying to compose his big song, and the Martians hear it and they take it as an invitation to come to Earth. But Mars is actually a planet full of really, really, really bad comedians, and they basically terrorize the human population into being afraid to leave their homes. You know, they just beam themselves into people's lives and won't go away. And so basically people are starving to death and not going to work because they're terrified to go outside because the Martians are like guests that refuse to leave. And then the next song that we listened to was No Ciens 4 by Eric Satie. The songs after that was the same song from Rosemary's Baby. And also the one after that was, I really should start at saying what songs we've been listening to, La Petite something. It's about a little music box. And then we listened to
Floppy
even,
teat.
What?
Floppy Teat.
I said La Petite, but I can't remember the rest of it. And then the song after that was Eventide, which is one of my favorite songs to listen to when I'm getting my physical therapy. And then we just heard the same song from Carrie. And that's why it made you sad.
Oh, yeah, one coming up, don't we?
Another song?
Yeah, remember I gave you two songs to play?
Yeah.
What's the other one?
What? I don't even know who that is.
You forgot, didn't you?
What?
You forgot to play my song.
I don't forget you. Think about you every second of the day. So, did you have any more cards?
Oh, yes. We're not listening to anything. I'll have to wait for next week then. Cards. I have the star because it's a bit like reaching out towards the stars, and I feel like I'm reaching out to the stars constantly, so...
Well, the star card is a fabulous, wonderful card. You have picked some really great cards. The star is a higher arcana card. It's a card that basically represents hopes, but it's distant hopes. The sun card is a card that represents hopes too, but these are hopes that you can actually touch and feel, kind of, because, like, if you think about it, the sun is a star, okay? And stars are the same things that the sun is, except they're further off from where we are. So when you imagine that you're reaching for the stars, you're reaching for something that you know you'll have, except it's not as close to you. And if you flip that card upside down, it's still a good thing. It just kind of means that you're reaching out and you have worries, but you still know it's something that you'll attain. So the stars are great. It's great. And also, like you said, you imagine that you're looking into the sky, you're waiting for something, you're expecting something. You have hope. You have hope.
Right.
Far off gazing hope. And that's pretty awesome. I have some hopes too that I feel like maybe far away, but still I really know they'll be. So it's a very good card. Is there another one?
Yeah, I've got I've got the Four of Wands because it reminds me of 11-11. I see there's a bloke sitting in the sun playing his strange ukulele harp thing. And there's a cat laying on his back sunbathing. So, yeah, Four of Wands.
Now, remember, some books, when you're going through your books out there in listening land, when you're going through your tarot books may have different interpretations of the smaller cards, you know, the regular playing cards, or, you know, just the numbered cards. But from my interpretation of the Four of Batons, or the Four of Wands, or the Four of Sticks, the Four of Staves, Four of Staffs, is relaxation. And no matter what way you flip that card, I still see relaxation. Relaxation because I've completed something after a hard day, or just relaxing because I just need to step back from something and just sort of let things resonate. So that's actually, and it's interesting because if you flip Four Wands upside down, they still look the same. They're Four Wands. That's kind of interesting. But what do you feel like the Four of Wands means, you know, other than, you know, the wonderful 11-11?
Well, like you said, I mean, the guy sitting there chilling out in the sun and there's a cat sunbathing, that's what looks like relaxation to me.
Yeah. Peacefulness. You want to have simple life, simple things, but you want to be successful, but you still want to be able to kick back and take some time.
Yeah.
Wow. And remember, everybody, when you're going through your cards, what we're talking about doing is picking out all the cards that mean something to you when you see them, or if you just sort of imagine what it is that you want to be, or imagine what it is that you want to attain. Pick out the cards that are significant to you. But then we want you to narrow it down to about 13 cards. And then put the rest away, and then keep those cards with you for the week. Look at them, study them, you know, absorb them. And these are going to become your power cards. And when we slowly start to assimilate them back into the deck, you'll start to see what they really mean to you when it comes out in readings.
Excuse me. Well, I guess nobody wants to tell us their experiences today, but, you know, I guess maybe it's because of the sudden change in days.
Well, I mean, it's also, it just maybe a slow day out there in listening land. And, you know, it's okay. I like it. I like to have time that we can kind of sit back and talk about the topics and things like that. And, you know.
Well, I want people to remember they can go to the Broken Earth page on Facebook to like us there. There's also the website, which is on the page, and the Broken Earth page here is just and below the window where the pictures come up, some text just above there. http://BillDoyle.wix.com/BrokenEarthRadio. And also, if you want to, there's also the Psychic Muni webpage on Facebook. You can like that page. If you want to get in touch with me, you can send me an email at Bill Doyle, that's D-O-Y-L-E, at live.com. Ina gets to play Skin to Bone for me because he messed up my other song. So. If it's not on there, I'm going to start throwing stuff around.
Well, see, what had happened was...
Don't give me that. I know you said you can't take him off. Once so. Let me tell you about this here. Finally, some justice. A police officer in Texas has been terminated from the force after an investigation determined that he violated official policy when he rammed his car into a suspect's vehicle, cornered him, and then fired 41 shots, killing him. Officer Patrick Tutor shot and killed Michael Vincent Allen on August 12, 2012, but he has only now been fired more than 6 months later. He has spent the last half year on administrative leave while the Garland Police Department conducted an investigation that has finally concluded this week. Tutor has been fired because he was found in violation of two general orders of our department, Garland PD spokesman Joe Hamm tells us. The Dallas Morning News, he violated our pursuit policy as well as our use of force policy. The events of last August occurred after Officer Tutor pursued Allen, an unarmed 25-year-old, because he was wanted for running from the police only days earlier. A high-speed chase ensued, and Tutor followed Allen in his cruiser for about 30 minutes. At that point, Tutor slammed into Allen's pickup, reached out for his gun, and fired 41 shots. Only three of the few dozen bullets entered Allen's body, but he died nonetheless from gunshot wounds to the back, side, and arm. I don't see anybody reacting like that, the victim's father, Randy Allen, tells CBS 11 News. 41 shots. I mean, both the other police officers are standing there. I can't believe somebody didn't tackle him and say, "Stop, that's enough," he says, speaking to NBC News. He adds that the officer's use of force wasn't just excessive, it was excessive on top of excessive, he says. According to the officer's attorneys, Tutor did feel in fear of his life and was justified in firing his weapon. The estate of the victim is suing the officer for wrongful death. Meanwhile, Tutor's attorneys have been appealing the indefinite suspension that was enacted in August, according to some reports. Will appeal his termination. But, come on. I mean, that is excessive. 41 shots into an unarmed... Tutor did feel in fear for his life and was justified in... Why would you chase somebody if you're in fear for your life? Come back here, I'm scared of you. I'm going to shoot you. You know what I mean? I know it's his job, but...
Right.
You know, that's just excessive. I mean, he wasn't armed. He said... Here we go, hold on, it says, he followed him in his cruiser about 30 minutes. He followed him. That doesn't necessarily say that he was chasing after him, does it? He could have just followed and suddenly rammed into his cruiser and decided to fire 41 bullets into him. But you see this all the time. Well, you do see this all the time if you look for it, but a lot of the time it's not reported, but it is there, the information. It's like there's two people that were shot at. They fired a load of bullets into their pickup because it was thought there was after that other guy that was he an ex-Marine or something, or a Marine that had gone AWOL. But they thought the pickup that they had was him, even though it was a different make and colour, and it was two women sat in the car, and they just unloaded a load of bullets into the car. But yeah, absolutely. I mean,
scary.
Mentality really annoys me.
It's very frightening, you know, because you know.
If you look at on YouTube, police brutality worse than Rodney King, I think, or something like that. Watch that video there, and, you know, it's just, I can't believe it. You know, the police can get away with what they do to people. It's just sickening. And there's nothing you can do about it because they're the police. But to protect and serve.
Right. I remember...
I don't want to paint everybody with the same brush, but, you know...
Right. Well, you know, I remember years ago, I think I was maybe 18, 17 or 18, and there was this homeless guy sitting at a... it wasn't a stop sign, but it was some sort of sign. It could have been a street sign, to be honest. He was just kind of sitting there. He was standing there for a little bit, and then he was sitting there. And so some officers came along, and we couldn't hear it, but it looked like they were telling him to go, and he wouldn't go. They even eventually just left him alone, and then he was laying there. But anyway, within like an hour, there are like about five of them beating on the guy. And a friend of mine was screaming and hollering, stop, stop, you know, but this is, I'm not somebody who has, you know, put, you know, given my life to protecting and serving or whatever. The guy was just sitting there, you know. Admittedly, he had been told to move, but. You know,
it happens all the time. I mean,
yeah.
there was, you know, even just to the right hand side of that story, California cops to be fired for beating homeless man to death. I heard about that, you know, ages ago, and they just beat him to death. And as in the video I saw of the arrested two, those two teenagers or something, that I don't know, didn't even have like a. They arrested them and threw them on the floor and whatever, and it was unnecessary. Next thing that happens is one of them pulls out the gun and just shoots him in the head and kills him. Right there, just executed him in the street. And they just get away with it.
These are people.
I don't understand.
People doing this to each other.
But.
Anyway.
Karma. Karma exists. Will they get the comeuppance? You know, I heard that, you know, everybody gets a review of their life once they ascend, their souls ascend after death, and they get a review of their life and they get to experience the point of view of people that you've hurt or, you know, done wrong to. But I think you get to experience it from the other side as well, you know, the more happy side of things. Maybe these people get a review of their life and they'll have to experience what they put other people through. Yeah.
What do you think that you'll experience?
My life.
what kind
of... Well, I'd like to say, you know, 75% good things, 25% evil.
Maybe you'll get to experience how you torture me. To give me English lessons. Cruelty. Pure cruelty. Do I have to play that? All right, we'll play a song, and we'll come back and chat a little bit and have a proper closeout. What song is it you wanted to hear?
Into Bone, Linkin Park.
I don't have that anymore on here.
What?
It's gone. It's the S's are completely gone.
Dead Castle of Glass.
The C's are gone, too.
All right, well, never mind. I just juice when you want some. Listen to
You know, I think it's going to be fun. I want to play that sunscreen song.
Right, okay. I've got about 7 minutes or so.
Yeah, I want to close it out with that. So we got about 7 minutes to talk about next week's show.
Go on.
Well, we're going to have the second installment of Tarot. Of course, we're going to have some other things. We got to think about aging. Maybe some research on, you know, because that time we had that show about the, a lot of people were having those dreams. You know what I'm talking about?
I missed some of what you were saying.
Oh, a lot of people.
The signal was, that's why I said, and the Skype thing.
Okay. Okay. Well, people were talking about their dreams, like their
right.
their spirit walking dreams and that sort of thing. And I think that's a really fun topic. So we'll kind of, I think we should talk about that. So do some research and talk to some people. I want to see if maybe I can find a guest. That's doing it and doing it big, you know. That sort of thing, because I think that would be a lot of fun and very educational, and a lot of people, you know, a lot of people are experiencing different things to awaken them for different things. I know there's a lot of people that are having some really intense, like, like telepathy with each other. A lot of times people, of course, they do it through music, you know, being able to send out those signals, that sort of thing. Right. So, you know, people that are reading each other's minds. And, of course, I'll joke and I'll say it's probably because the zombie apocalypse is coming and we're going to need to know where to find each other. But, you know, it could be. But in reality, I'm just, you know, there's things that are coming, there's things that are changing, and people need to be able to connect to each other, especially if they're not able to use phones and stuff like that.
That's right. I don't know. Could be more meteorites coming. You don't know.
Meteorites. Oh, there's somebody in the queue. There's somebody calling, so.
Oh, I have to make it a quick one.
Wait a second.
I'm waiting.
Weird.
What?
Let me pick this up and see who this is. Hold on just a moment. Hi, this is Broken Earth. How can I help you?
Hey, how are you doing?
All right. Hi, who's this?
Bob.
Bob, well, it's nice to speak with you, Bob. How can we help you today?
Well, just wondering about, you know, love life, really. You know, what's going to happen here? It's like,
are we supposed
tired
to
of having, fun? Yeah, just always having bad luck, man. It's just ridiculous. It's like women love these abusive men. I don't know, man. I'm not that kind of guy, so it's just, you know, you sit there and watch them keep choosing these idiots. And meanwhile, yeah. I'm walking through life alone. And I'm a decent guy. It's like everything's backwards, man. It's like I've seen these ugly, abusive men. And I'm not ugly. And I'm not abusive. And you think they'd like somebody decent, but they don't. It just makes me wonder, do I have to turn into like a wife beater type of guy? I mean, really? Is that what I have to do?
Yeah, I hear what you're saying.
It's very frustrating, man. And I'm getting real sick of it.
Cool.
Well, you know, disrespected by women who can't appreciate a decent guy, and then they go choose some jerk that's going to, like, totally trash them. And I'm getting disrespected by these losers. I'm going to smack somebody, man. I'm a former Marine, trained killer.
Right.
If I was the kind of guy that beat on a woman, I'd probably have a 10-mile-long line outside my door of stupid women like, oh, beat me up now. We love you.
Well, one of the things that, because I, you know, I know you're in a very frustrating scenario right now, Bob.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I can see you meeting people. I can see you meeting people, but we've just, what I really suggest that you do at this point for a little while is to stop.
I've done
and
that.
Just allow yourself to be approached. This is just the angle that I really do kind of think that you need to take for a little bit, because you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, being a gentleman. You know,
it doesn't pay.
But what you've got to do is just sort of sit back and allow yourself to be approached. When you actually see the intentions of the people around you, and you're not misreading what somebody may want because they're actually saying, "Hey, cutie, what's up?" You know, then I mean, I just kind of see you for a while needing to allow people to come to you and go through that process for a bit and see how that works for you, okay?
I've been doing that. I've done that. I mean, nothing works. Nothing is worth. It's like the universe or God or whatever you want to call it is picking on me. I'm fed up with it. I'm ready to fight the universe. Let's rock.
How long have you been doing this strategy of just letting people approach you?
I've been locked inside my house for 3 years, not trying to go out and, you know, acting, quote, I've never been good at picking up women or whatever you want to call it. It's not my bag, but it's nothing works. Doesn't matter what I do, nothing's going to work. God has it in for me.
Well, like I said, continue to try the angle of people approaching you, but you're going to have to unlock that door and sit outside so they can reach you. Okay? We're going to try that for a bit. All right, Bob?
I mean, I've been doing that. it just seems like no matter what I do.
I'm sure. I know it's not a good.
The only thing I haven't tried is start. The only thing I have not tried is to start throwing left hooks and right crosses. You know what I'm saying?
Do you think that'll work?
I've seen it work for other guys. That are, you know, it's like, and it's like that to me blows my mind. It's like, why would anybody want to get beat up and abused? When somebody's trying to disrespect me, that doesn't draw me closer and make them want to stay with them. I go away.
But then you might attract the wrong kind of woman.
Well, where's the right kind of woman? They never show up. I ask God, Spirit, whatever you want to call that thing, universe, I don't even care what you call it. Right now I got a 4-letter word name for it. To help, they never help. Whoever it is, spirit, whatever, they never help. It's like me against the entire universe. That's what it feels like. I'm backed in a corner. I'm ready to come out swinging, man.
I'm sorry you feel that way.
Well, you don't have to apologize. You didn't do anything to me. You know what I mean?
Well, I tell you what, I know you... I don't know whether it'll be any help to you, but if you're on our page, but if you click on the website thing, I've done a relaxation thing there for you, for people to listen to. And it's, if you'd like to, you can listen to it. It's like a meditative relaxation. It's about 15 minutes long, and you know, you might benefit from it because, you know, I think you need just a bit of a break and just to relax for a bit, you know. But it's up to you if you want to check that out. But even with me, even though I'm the one who created it, it does help me out, which is weird, listen to my own voice. But you're welcome to check that out, and hopefully that'll help you out. Relax, at least, you know, and get your mind focused again on things and just help you balance out a little bit.
All right, Bob. We don't want you out there swinging. But we do understand how come sometimes it feels like it's the only answer. But I'm telling you, we've got to create.
Is anything ever going to happen for me?
Bob, what I'm actually about to tell you is how to create what you're looking for. Because right now, you know, you've got yourself up against this thing. And if we can make you more approachable and bring out that dreamy, creamy center in you that actually makes you lovable, you'll see your change, okay?
I don't know what that means.
Well, I want you to sit back and I want you to think about it. And you can replay this reading for yourself. So you can hear yourself, and then I think you'll get it. Thank you for listening, dear. And, you know, our show is about to be over in about 3 minutes. But thanks for listening. And listen to your reading and listen to yourself. And I think you're going to get a lot of answers, okay?
Why? Because I express frustrating. That's not attractive to a female.
It's okay, Bob. It's all right. No one's judging you. We're not. But I want you to sit back and just kind of sit back with yourself, okay?
So if I listen to myself feeling frustrated because I'm not pretending to be wonderfully happy and fluffy and puffy, that's unattractive. Is that it?
Well, Bob, remember, you're looking for somebody to fall in love with you. So, you know, we've got to get you to a place where you're actually in a compassionate frame of mind and feeling lovable. Okay?
I am compassionate. I'm the best friend anybody can ever have.
All right, dear. Well,
It doesn't pay.
Well, Bob, remember something. Sometimes things don't happen in the time that we want, but they do happen. And everything
I'm not 15 years old. I'm not trying to wait till I'm like 95 and on my deathbed before the universe feels like lifting a fucking finger for me.
Bob, I
appreciate it if you wouldn't swear, because there might be kids listening
but
to the show as well.
It's all right, but you know our show is about to be over, sweetheart. But just listen to yourself, and give us a call next week. And if what you heard doesn't change, then we'll try to figure out some other angle. Because I mean, you know, there's angry women out there that may appreciate what you say, and we gotta locate them. All right. So you just sit back. You just sit back and listen. And I'm telling you, it's when you're looking for somebody to love you, what is it about you that's worth loving? And that's the first step. That's the first step to getting your clarity. But I got to cut you off because we're already gone past the time to close our show out properly. But we'll be on next day. All right. You have a good one. And thanks for listening. Well, seriously, everybody, thank you very much for listening. We're not going to be able to have a proper closeout tonight, but we can probably listen to something real fast. Let me pull something up, and we'll see you next Tuesday, 2 p.m. Central, 3 p.m. Eastern, and 8 p.m. UK. And this is Broken Earth Radio. Bill, anything you want to say real fast?
Yeah, thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.
All right. Love you guys. Speak to you soon.
Bye-bye.